As one, your voice may not be heard. As one in a million, your voice cannot be ignored. Rick Santorum's Patriot Voices stands with you for faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. Welcome to Patriot Voices Radio. This is your time to stand up and let your voices be heard.
Welcome to Patriot Voices Radio. Hi, I'm your host, Dan Davidson. It's great to have you with us here. Happy New Year to everyone. We're kicking off 2015 with our first show of the year. We are here at Patriot Voices Radio with you the second and fourth Tuesdays every month at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. A new year means a new beginning, and we are ready to go with a great show for you today. We will talk with Joel Rosenberg. He's the New York Times best-selling author. He has a new book out called The Third Target. This is about the threat of ISIS. And he'll be talking with Senator Santorum for his interview, who will join us a little earlier. And Senator Santorum will give us his views on the news of the day. A lot of things happening. So it's always great to check in with Senator Santorum. Also, we will have Nagma Abedini. She will join us at the top of the show here soon to give us an update on her husband, Pastor Saeed Abedini. He is being wrongly imprisoned in Iran for his Christian faith. We had her on the show a few months ago, so we look forward to getting an update on that. Of course, they are always in our prayers, and we will tell you how you can help take some action there and encourage some movement in that situation. We also will have a pre-taped interview with one of our Maryland state chairs of Patriot Voices, and that'll be from John Kyle. He was just at an event this weekend, a grassroots conference, so it'll be great to hear from him. And we'll also check in with Nadine Mayenza. She's the Patriot Voices Executive Director. She's going to talk to us about the goals and everything we're looking forward to 2015. And we'll also check in with Shelley Ollersmeyer, our National Grassroots Director. So it is a jam-packed show. Stick around. It's going to be great. Now, it's cold out there. I don't know where you live out in the country, but chances are the thermometer has gone down. So we're going to give away some Patriot Voices sweatshirts today, as well as a copy of One Generation Away. That's a movie about the erosion of religious liberty in America. We'll talk more about that later. But here's how you can win. All you have to do is go to the Patriot Voices Facebook page and join this radio event at the top of the page. You'll be automatically entered to win. It's that easy. We'll draw winners throughout the show. So make sure you join that. And as always, we appreciate you sharing the show with everyone else. And just as a reminder, we're live the second and fourth Tuesdays at noon Eastern Standard, but you can always listen to the archived broadcasts after they air. And that's available at patriotvoices.com/radio with a small r. And now we're available on iTunes as well. You can search us there and should be available in any other podcast directory. Fantastic. Well, I mentioned that we're going to have Nagma Abedini on the show. We're going to welcome her to Patriot Voices Radio right now. Nagma, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to talk with you again, Nagma. I know we spoke with you a few months ago and appreciate you taking time to share with us again. You're in our thoughts and prayers. For those who may not be familiar with your husband's situation, can you give us a little background and update?
Well, first of all, it's good to be back, and I appreciate your continued support and prayer and keeping Saeed's story alive. And just I appreciate all of that, my family and I do. Well, Saeed, as some may know, he's a U.S. citizen. He's a pastor, my husband, and he traveled to Iran in 2012 to work on an orphanage that he'd been working with the Iranian government on since 2009. He had traveled more than 9-10 times to Iran working on that orphanage. And okay. In June of 2012, he left. He was supposed to be gone for a few weeks, and he never came back. He was taken by Iranian government, by hardliners. He was put in prison. He was given an 8-year sentence and he's been we're going on the third year of his imprisonment. Yes.
Okay, so it's the third year in prison, and where do things stand now? Has there been any progress on the possibility of your husband's release?
There doesn't seem to be. It's been quite frustrating that we are talking to Iran. We are meeting with them regularly. We seem to be wanting to build trust and have released money, billions of dollars to them. And still they're holding Saeed, whose case they haven't said he's a spy. They haven't said he's broken any law. They sentenced him to 8 years for house church gatherings that had happened in the year 2000, and which in Iran, it is a legal act. It is okay. It's protected by Iranian law and laws Iran has agreed to internationally to allow religious minorities to gather in homes. And so they sentenced him to 8 years. They've been imprisoning him and torturing him unjustly simply because of his Christian faith. It's a human rights issue, but we continue to talk to Iran, but there doesn't seem to be much happening with his release. And we've gone on the third Christmases, third birthdays. My daughter was five. Now she's eight, will be turning nine actually soon. She was five last time she saw my husband, and it's been a very difficult journey. And it's really my faith in Jesus Christ and the reality of that relationship with God that has kept me going and given me hope to continue.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. How helpful is the U.S. government being, and are they giving you any regular updates?
It's been mainly me providing, updates and such on Saeed. There's been, some updates, not as regular as I've hoped, but there doesn't seem to be too much transparency of what's going on. I know it's there's a lot of discussions happening with Iran, but there hasn't been a lot of transparency, and there's been definitely no sign of his release happening anytime soon. The Iranian government, we know, is sensitive on his case because he's a pastor and he's a convert. And that has made life for Saeed very difficult in the prison. He's had ISIS affiliates in the same ward, in the same area as him, and they don't like him because he's a convert and he's a pastor, and also he's an American citizen. So it's made his life in the Iranian prison very difficult.
Let me ask you, Nagma, are you able to get updates about Saeed and his health and his just general well-being?
You know what? He has family still living in Iran, immediate family, like his parents, that they have been my lifeline in providing me updates and being able to visit him and see him in person and let me know how he's doing. He is suffering. He has medical issues. The first few months of his imprisonment, they beat him. The main reason they were telling him was if he returns to Islam, they would free him. And, of course, Saeed would not do that. And so a lot of beatings happened early on in the imprisonment. And that's when he had his internal bleeding happened and internal injuries. And he's been suffering since with no, the government hasn't allowed any treatment. They've given him some pain medication and so on, but nothing to really address his main issue.
You know, we can often in America take our freedoms for granted. And how does this, as a U.S. citizen and having your family here and just knowing what your husband has gone through and is going through, how does that kind of give you a perspective on just the gift and just the blessing of, freedom of religion and just freedom in general in our country?
You know, it's America. You know, I came here as a young girl. I've been here for almost 30 years. I was born in Iran, and America gave me the chance to choose Christ. I didn't have that choice in Iran. I could never have that choice. And that's my number one treasure. That's the number one thing I treasure about America is the freedom to choose, the freedom to speak. Unfortunately, you don't see that in a lot of Middle Eastern countries. You don't see that in Muslim countries. You can't even choose what you want to believe in, and there's fear of even speaking
right.
your mind. And unfortunately, we're seeing that across Europe now. And but you know, it's something we should fight for. There was a lot of people who gave their life to so we can have this freedom that's so special to America. And I, as Americans, we should continue to cherish that and fight to have it. It's free. It's God. God has given us, you know, it's a God-given freedom for us to choose what we want to believe
Amen.
In.
Amen. And we need to continue to fight for the just the keeping of those freedoms in the future, right? I mean, it's a precious,
exactly.
precious thing
it,
to be able
it,
to be
in. It is. It is. I think you have it, and you just get lukewarm, and then you realize. I think it's a lot of us are waking up now that this doesn't mean it's a freedom we will always have. If we don't speak out, if we don't address what's happening, even in our and here, even in the U.S., it's been hard. You know, it has been shocking to me being raised here in the last 30 years, how much it's been hard to even share my faith as a Christian. And so it's something that we should continue to fight for. It's what America was founded on. It's a core value, and if we don't fight for it, if we don't defend it, it will be something that we lose.
Well, let me ask you, what can our listeners to help in this situation? I know number one is pray. And you can touch on that, and I'm sure prayer has been a sustaining force for you and your family. So just tell us everything that we can do to help.
Prayer is number one for me. I've been frustrated. I feel like, you know, a lot of times we say we've tried everything now. All that we have left is prayer. Actually, prayer should be the number one. But I feel like I've tried everything, and all I have is really God to do a miracle to bring Saeed out. So I ask people to pray with me, but also to let your government officials know that religious freedom and keeping that freedom is important for us. Here's an American citizen. Here's an example. Here is an American citizen who's being held by hardliners, and because of his Christian faith, he hasn't broken any law. He's been suffering for 2.5 years simply because of his faith, and this is the best chance for our government to stand up and say this is not right. And as the people, we should pressure and call our government officials and say, what are we doing? This is not right. Why are we even talking to Iran? What is Iran doing to show good faith effort? It's frustrating for me as my husband's suffering. For us to talk with Iran and not address this human rights issue and not demand for Saeed's release.
Well, we want to encourage all Patriot Voices members and listeners to do exactly what Nagma just said, is to contact your representative. And, Nagma, we have a tool on our website, patriotvoices.com. Matter of fact, you can go right to the home page and then just scroll down on the right-hand side. In the right-hand column, there's a little box that says Save Pastor Saeed Abedini, and it's time to take action and demand that President Obama obtain the release of American Pastor Saeed Abedini, who is wrongfully imprisoned in Iran for sharing his Christian faith. And then that opens up to an area where we have an email that you can, you know, obviously update or change, enter your zip code, and then you can send letters to President Obama. So we have that tool there, and thousands of people have already
done
that.
People can just go in. Yes, that's perfect. People can just go in and change their zip code and send a letter, and that's a wonderful tool.
Yes, and so we want to thank everyone for doing that already. On that page, of course, you can share it on social media to get the word out, and there's a link, a resource at the American Center for Law and Justice where you can learn more about this. Are there any other online websites or Twitter accounts that you'd like to mention to just help get the word out?
Just, you know, I have my own Nagma Abedini Twitter that I just try, or in my Facebook, Nagma Abedini, that I try to send as much updates as I can and prayer requests.
Okay.
So if people want to follow that, they're welcome to do that as well.
Awesome. Well, Nagma, thank you for joining us again today and give us an update. Your husband, Saeed, and your family are in our prayers, and we're right with you. And again, I want to urge all Patriot Voices listeners to go to our website, patriotvoices.com, and click on that and do your part in other ways as well.
Thank you for
Thank
your
you
support.
So much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless, Nagma. And we will...
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, brother.
Nagma Abedini, it's great to hear from her again. What an unbelievable story. And as we shared together the earlier part of her interview, the religious freedoms in America are precious. It's what our servicemen and women have fought for to retain, and it is something that can easily be taken for granted. And this is a situation, just, you know, a U.S. citizen and someone reaching out, trying to help. And this is something that this is one of the main reasons that we're here at Patriot Voices, to continue to fight for these kind of freedoms. We want to remind you that we're giving away some Patriot Voices sweatshirts today. We want to keep you warm here in the cold winter. And we're also giving away a copy of the movie One Generation Away. That is an amazing movie. We'll talk a little bit more about it later. It exactly focuses in on the topic of religious liberty, which we want to make sure that we maintain here in America. Our first winner we have in that is Kenneth from Tennessee. So congratulations, Kenneth. You're going to be warm with a good Patriot Voices sweatshirt, and I've got one, and I'll tell you, they I've been wearing mine. They come in handy. Very helpful in this cold weather. We want to welcome now to Patriot Voices Radio, Senator Rick Santorum. Senator, great to have you on the show again today. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Dan. Thank you. I just caught the end of your previous guest, and you're right. What an inspiring story. What a great I know what a warrior my wife is, but wow, what a that pastor has a blessing in having a warrior wife like he has.
Amen. And Senator, I mean, that's one of the important foundational principles that Patriot Voices stands on, and that's been a part of your life, a religious freedom. And like the movie One Generation Away really focuses in on that. Can you just, as a segue, tell us a little bit more about that and why that's so important?
Well, you've probably heard me say many times how the most important freedom is the freedom of conscience. And if you don't have the ability to say what you actually believe and feel, write what you believe and feel, to assemble for that reason, all those other rights become hollow rights. And freedom of conscience, freedom of religion is really foundational, and it's the reason America was founded in the first place. And that passion continues here in America. We still, thanks be to God, are one of the of all of Western civilization, as much as any and more than the vast majority, a country that is still heavily faith filled. And I think one of the principal reasons for that is our religious liberty. This is a threat to those who see religion as a competition for their ability to force their will on society, and so I think you're seeing the battle that government, in particular, those who believe that government and secular society should and their morals should rule the day, are launching headfirst into trying to restrict religious liberty and contain religion to the four wall, at least for now, to the four walls of the church and not outside of it. And we have to push back on that. And that's what One Generation Away, the movie, is all about. And I'm excited. Tomorrow night I'm going to be in Dallas, Texas, for a showing of One Generation Away at First Baptist Dallas. We're expecting a really great crowd there. Pastor Robert Jeffries is the pastor there, and we'll be having dinner with him beforehand, and then showing the movie, and then having an opportunity to talk to the those who are coming to the movie and answer questions on what they can do. Hopefully, it's a question of obviously we'll take questions on the subject matter, but also talk to them about what they can do to begin to push back. And then again on February 4th, we're doing another showing of One Generation Away, and that is going to be a simulcast that we're doing with the Family Research Council. Tony Perkins and I will be in Washington, D.C. We are encouraging churches to sign up all over the country to show this movie in their church. Tony and I will
yes.
stream it live into your church, and Tony and I will follow right after the movie and talk about what you can do in your church and in your community to fight for religious freedom. And I'll focus on, frankly, getting information out. I think this movie is a tremendous vehicle to provide information to people about what the threat to religious liberty. And then Tony will talk more specifically about efforts involved in all the states in our country to pass the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, so we can stand up for religious liberty and what the courts have tried to do to us in state by state, pushing back like we have on the issue of abortion in other areas.
Absolutely, and we'll be sharing more information about that simulcast of One Generation Away later in the show. That's going to be an exciting event. Senator, a lot of news to get to. First, now that several days have passed, I want to get your take on and your reaction on what happened in France last week.
Well, as you know, Dan, this is a topic that I have talked about for a long, long time and have been critical of two administrations ever since the events of 9/11. Neither the Bush administration and certainly much worse the Obama administration have addressed the serious issue that now is coming into focus, which I for years have tried to bring into focus, which is that, you know, we are at war with radical Islam, and that Islam is the only answer. In other words, Muslims are the only real answer, unless we are, and I've said this many times, unless we are committed to a long and bloody struggle with Islam and its radical elements. Islam itself has to take on its cancer within its own body, and because frankly the West can't, the East can't. Islam has to do this, and you know, it's not for Rick Santorum to go and to point out all the problems with that Muslims have to deal with within their own faith. In dealing with its radical elements, and we're seeing that it's not going to go away. And if there's anything that I think the president has done to misinform the public even worse than what he did on Obamacare, is misinforming the public about the threat of radical Islam, not only mischaracterizing it, uncharacterizing it. In other words, he just refuses to tie any of the things that have happened in this country, from the Fort Hood shooting on down, as anything but acts of violence that were not connected at all to the religion of Islam, when in fact it is Islam. Now, is it what most Muslims believe? No, it's not. But the point is that is something that Muslims themselves have to confront. And you know, we look at an example as what's going on in Egypt right now, and you see al-Sisi in Egypt stepping forward and confronting radical Islam. I mean, if you want a good example of what Muslims across the world, including here in America, need to do, is not just condemn the act, saying, oh, you know, we're not for violence, but condemn the root of that violence, condemn
yes.
the theology behind that violence. And identify it for what it is, which is rooted in Islam. Identify that those are in fact roots, but they are a corruption of what they want Islam to be, and address it as the way al-Sisi is. I mean, I was so encouraged to see President al-Sisi actually go to a Coptic Christian mass. First time the head of state of Egypt has ever gone to a Coptic religious service. I mean, those are the kinds of things that are doubly important to see in the Muslim world. Not just from jihadists. Obviously, you wouldn't expect a jihadist to do that, but from secular or mainstream religious Muslims to appreciate and to acknowledge some form of embracement of modernity, of the concept of religious liberty. And that is not occurring. It's not occurring in any of the Muslim-dominated countries, and it needs to start, and I'm very encouraged to see Egypt leading the way on that regard.
That is a great point. Of course, our own president, President Obama, initially called it just an act of violence, And, you know, they still, you know, you have a difficulty of just saying what it is, you know, Islamic terrorism. And of course, with
well,
this
we can,
being...
I mean, we can go, yeah, we can go on into how bad the president has been in this and how horrible it was for the president not to attend or someone like the vice president. I mean, I don't know what Joe Biden does on a daily basis, but you know, for him not to be able to find time to go to to France for that incredible display of unity against radical Islam, and then to see at the time that this is going on, Eric Holder saying that no, this is not a war against radicalism. The fact that the president is now to the left of the French government and most of Europe now is again a sign of how out of touch this president is. And look, this is a serious issue. This is one that, that, as you know, I've been writing about and talking about and sponsoring bills when I was in the Senate about. I feel very passionately about the need for the United States to provide leadership here. And it's tragic that this president is not only providing leadership, but seems to be quietly, well, I won't say condoning because I think that's probably certainly too far, but he certainly isn't rising up at a very critical time and fighting with the world against this this radical scourge.
Well, let's transition to a few other issues, Senator. First, you've been in the news quite a bit lately. You traveled to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania last week to attend the swearing-in of the new legislature. This was significant because you've known the new Senate Majority Leader, Jake Corman, since you were in college, I believe. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that was just a very special personal day for me and two of the people that were sworn into leadership in the Pennsylvania legislature. The Speaker of the House is a young man who I was involved with his first race. He ran for Congress in the Pittsburgh area, and I encouraged him not only to run but did a lot to help support in everything from our whole campaign organization to fundraising and the like. He turned out not to be successful and then dropped back and set his sights on running for the state house, which he did. But he was always from the very beginning a dynamic, principled, conservative, strong leader. And it didn't surprise me at all. And then in a very short period of time, 12 years, he rose to the speakership of the House. And so I wanted to be there for his swearing in and taking that oath, and as well as another, in this case, even closer and dear personal friend, as you mentioned. I've known him since he was junior high. I worked for his dad when I was in college, worked in a campaign for his dad, and ended up working for him as an intern, and then eventually did some work a few years with him in Harrisburg. So I've known Jake Corman, like I said, since he was at junior high. And When I became a senator, he actually went to work for me for 3 years before he ran for his father's Senate seat. And he is, again, a great friend and a strong and principled conservative and someone I'm very proud of. Not only has he been strong and principled on legislative matters, but he's been a leader in trying to provide some justice to the horrible situation that the NCAA created with Penn State University. He represents that area of the state, Penn State University, and he actually has brought a lawsuit against the NCAA, and it's bearing a lot of fruit as to the really the horrible behavior of the NCAA with respect to how they dealt with that situation, and it's been a real vindication for a lot of people in the state college area. So very proud of him on a lot of fronts. He's a fighter, and I don't know where he got it from, but I'm glad he has it.
That is great. There's been a lot of news about a gathering of some of your former staff that you'll be having later today. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's about?
Well, we had a similar gathering in Harrisburg just, the afternoon of the swearing in. So we're doing lots of meetings across the country to talk about the potential of looking at a presidential race and trying to get feedback from people as to what their thinking is, sharing with them the vision that we have and the concerns that I have about the country and what we need to be doing to engage. And we haven't made any final decisions on this yet. Karen and the family and all the folks that we'll be talking to, this is part of a process that we're going through. I know a lot of other people are going through that, Mitt Romney included now, it looks like. And, I think that's a good thing. I tell everybody, Dan, I'll say it to you. I mean, I think everybody should run for the president. I think it's one of the most incredible experiences that a person can have. I can tell you that of all the things I've done in my professional career, I can't think of anything that's had a bigger impact on my life and how I look at not just policy, but politics and our country. I'm so much more bullish on America after having gone through that experience. And, it's for those, particularly those of you who may feel have your Doppler down and think things are horrible. If you look at what's going on around the world and you look at our president, you look at the mess in Washington, you look at all of these things that are happening, look at what's going on in our culture and our education system. You have a tendency to sort of get down. It does a person good to get out in the country and meet millions, literally. You get a chance to interact with certainly hundreds of thousands of people, and you realize the spirit of America is still amazing, strong, and it's a real confidence builder for us as citizens to have that experience. So I don't blame Mitt Romney or anybody else who's looking at this, who thinks that they can make a difference for the country, to get out there and let your voice be heard. So I suspect there very well may be a double-digit number of candidates who enter this race.
Very well could be,
determine whether it's the right thing for Karen and me and the family. But right now we're encouraged, and we're looking at it seriously and trying to get some honest feedback. And folks who worked for you, as we gathered some in Harrisburg, we'll gather some more here in D.C., are usually a pretty good, these are folks who've known me when, and really good sounding boards for what they think of our message and the messenger, and whether it's a viable enterprise, and whether it's something that, as I said in many interviews, if we get in this race, we're not getting in it to put forth an issue or to play some role in the process. I mean, the only reason to get involved in a presidential race is to win. And so that's part of the calculus that we're going to be working on here in the next few months.
Well, you certainly are in our prayers for that decision. And I love your positive perspective. I really do. It's very inspiring. I was just checking out the Drudge Report headlines yesterday and saw a link to an article on the National Review, and the headline was Santorum, the Blue-Collar Brawler. It's clear that you have a passion for being a voice for hardworking Americans, and, of course, your book reflects that. Why is that so important to you?
It's vitally important because the America that I grew up in and I love is an America that provides opportunity for every American who wants to provide for themselves and their family. We have decent, hardworking people out there who are seeing that promise of the American dream getting further and further out of reach. And that is, it's not just the income inequality. It's not just the hollowing out and wage stagnation and wages declining declining. It's the sense of hope and optimism and the idea that hard work and good behavior will pay off to a better life for you and your children. And when that comes into question in America, democracy itself, our republic, is in danger. That people I don't think a lot of the elites in our society realize how important it is that there is a general consensus in America that the country works and can work for them. And when so many people increasingly are thinking that it's not working for them, well, that's when horrible things can happen. That's when freedom itself is a threat. I mean, there's lots of threats to freedom that we see. Certainly our deficit and certainly the size and scale of government. All of those things are very, very important. But if decent, hardworking Americans don't feel that America works for them anymore, and that is not just a temporary thing because of recession, but is becoming the long-term chronic thing that is expanding wider and wider in our society, then then freedom really is at stake, because the electorate then has a whole different idea of what the role of government should be in their lives. And that's the real scary part. And that's why I feel so passionate about it. It's not just because I care about each and every individual and their ability to rise, which I do, but it's also the cumulative effect of having those individuals not having hope in our country and the impact on long term in our freedoms and our way of life here in America.
Well, thank you for standing up for that and having a heart for that. Speaking of having a heart, I know you and your wife, Karen, have a new book coming out in less than a month, Bella's Gift. We had the privilege of hearing from both of you and you and Karen on our last show right before Christmas about the book. For those of you who didn't hear that interview or hadn't heard about the book, can you tell us briefly about Bella's Gift and why you wrote it?
Well, it's really Karen's labor of love. So this is something that she's been wanting to do now for 3 or 4 years, and through lots of campaigns and lots of other things that have come up in raising 7 children, just finding the time to devote to really putting together a thoughtful book was something that we had been putting off and sort of working on in fits and starts. And finally we saw a little bit of free time, relatively speaking. And so we jumped on it, and we found a wonderful publisher, Thomas Nelson Publishing, who agreed to publish the book. And so we worked diligently on it. Karen and I decided, after really a lot of thought, prayer, and actually trying to work together to try to put this book together, that it would actually be better if we wrote our own chapters and really gave people a perspective of what, a mom's perspective and a dad's perspective. Certainly every individual case is different, but we thought this is not atypical of how moms and dads deal with these situations, and we thought it would be helpful to families who are going through this, to relatives and friends who have people who are going through this, to understand the dynamics inside a family, inside a marriage, and dealing with a child who has a severe disability and lots of medical issues and challenges in front of them. So we hope that it'll be a blessing to those families and friends, and hopefully be a blessing to everyone who understands the importance and dignity of every human life.
Well, we want to encourage people to go to the website bellasgiftbook.com. You can pre-order the book, learn more about it, makes great gifts as well. It's going to be coming out in early February. Senator, we have a great privilege today of having a guest that I know we've had on before and a good friend of yours, New York Times best-selling author Joel Rosenberg, and we want to welcome Joe to Patriot Voices Radio now. Hi, Joel.
Great to be with you guys. How are you?
Joel, it's great to hear your voice, and I've been hearing your voice, though, because I'm reading your book, so your voice is resonating in my head as I read through, and I must admit I'm not through it. I'm about a third of the way through it right now, and just starting to get really fun. And I just
scary. I mean,
as you know, fun in the sense that it's just really a great pace of a book, and a lot of action, a lot of going on, and it's a fun read. But you're right, a chilling read. I've gotten some correspondence, and I think you were on that string of correspondence from some folks who've read the book, I was blown away by the high praise that. That this book is getting, because it's not only a great book, an insight into the evil that is radical Islam, but it's also a much more complex story about what it's going to take to actually confront that evil and be successful. So here's the amazing thing, and people need to hear this. I mean, Joel wrote, when did you start writing this book, Joel?
Well, I began the research for it about 2 years ago, and I began writing it probably 18 months ago.
So this is a book about ISIS. This is a book about the threat that is today that 2 years ago no one had ever heard of. I mean, this is the great tribute to you, Joel, is how far ahead of the curve you were on your books on Iran and how far ahead you are of the curve on the current threat of radical Islam in the world. And I know you're a man of God, but he has given you a great gift, a prophetic gift. And why don't you tell us a little bit about why you,
2 years ago. How did you decide to write about this? How did you see this coming?
Well, first of all, Senator, I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate your friendship. And when you say that, first as a friend, I appreciate it. But also, since you were leading on these issues in the Senate on Iran, on Syria, way back when a lot of people didn't want to hear it, I know that you didn't get a lot of credit for it. You didn't wind up on the bestseller list because you were talking about it, but you're doing the right thing, and I appreciate your foresight. Look, I knew I was going to start a new thriller series with new characters and new threats, and having covered the threat of Al-Qaeda flying on a jet into an American city, having written about the rise of the Iranian nuclear problem and so forth, I wanted a new enemy, something that was real, but something maybe I didn't know about and maybe my readers didn't know about, but that we ought to. So one of the blessings of writing these thrillers is that it's opened up relationships with people I wouldn't have expected. So two of those are friends now, former CIA Director Jim Woolsey, who served in the Clinton administration, and Porter Goss, who served as CIA Director under President George W. Bush. So I went to each of them separately, and I said, all right, what keeps you guys up at night? What do you worry about? What are some threats that if I wrote about, you would say that would begin giving people a heads up on something coming? And they both started talking about how Al-Qaeda in Iraq was not on the wane, that it was shifting, it was morphing into something new, something more dangerous, what became known as ISIS and now known as the Islamic State. To test that theory, I went to Israel and I sat down with a former Mossad chief, the head of Israeli intelligence, Danny Yatom. Got the same story from him. Went to the Jordanian embassy in Washington, and I asked the ambassador, listen, I'd like to go meet with your leaders in Amman and get their perspective on what's coming. And she graciously set me up with the prime minister of Jordan, the foreign minister, the interior minister, and one of the princes, who is a senior advisor to the king. And so all of that combined into this novel. But I honestly thought, Senator, that the rise of ISIS as a really horrific front, the type that I describe in the novel, The Third Target, was maybe a 4 or 5 year down the road threat, not a, you know, it'll own 45% of Iraq before I even, you know, turn in the final manuscript threat. So things have moved much more quickly than I had anticipated, but there were people who saw it coming, even when a year ago this month, President Obama said, no, this is not a threat that's coming. It's on the wane, and ISIS is really the JV squad. And obviously, that was wrong.
So he's obviously not talking to the same people you're talking to, right? I mean,
I don't think he's even talking to the CIA. I mean, he's not even attending his own briefings, which is, you know, not a partisan statement. It's a factual statement that he's skipping his meetings over the years. And, you know, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta and Bob Gates were warning him, don't pull your American military forces completely out of Iraq, or you're going to create a vacuum in which radicals are going to fill. You warned him of that. A lot of people have warned him of that. He wouldn't even listen to his own defense secretaries or CIA directors. So I'm not sure that I'm so, you know, so much smarter. I just have ears to hear and a willingness to listen to experts and take them, you know, take their experience at face value. And for some reason, ideological, I think, and lack of experience, the president is bungling this in a horrific way.
So I want to get back to your book because, again, I haven't – I'm only through it. I'm reading about the reporter. The reporter is the main character, which is a little discomforting to me, is the main character of the book is the New York Times reporter. So,
well, you know, the reason I chose him was not because, you know, or chose someone like him, is because this is, New York Times is not something who ideologically believes that radical Islam is a serious problem for us. So the reporters are covering war and terrorism, but they're not inclined to think this way. I want to pick someone who might not be inclined, who suddenly comes face to face with a very chilling reality.
So this is a book, and again, I'm just reading from some of the comments made by folks who have read it. This is a book, obviously, about the chilling aspects, the reality of, if you really want to get a sense, because I heard this from a couple of people who read the book, if you really want to get a sense of the evil that is ISIS, that is radical Islam, this book will give you a fictionalized but authentic, in an emotionally wrapped story, an authentic view of that maybe will, you know, what fiction and what movies and what all these mediums of art can do, which is can take a reality and penetrate it into your soul. And I got the impression that, again, so anxious to read the rest of this book, is that this book really does do that. It provides the avenue for you to really understand in a much more deep way the threat that radical Islam is.
Well, I hope so. That's my desire. I definitely want to entertain. You know, I want to keep people up till 4 or 5 in the morning, reading this high octane, you know, edge of your seat.
You've done
thriller.
That in the past to me, I will tell you. Yes.
Well,
go ahead.
You know, it's interesting. I get my favorite emails and tweets are from people at 5 in the morning. They got to go to work in an hour, and they're mad at me because I've kept them up all night with it. That's a goal. So.
Yeah.
But in addition, I want to educate.
So you're
and in a sense, I want to warn.
In your writing, you're against American productivity.
Well, just for a night or two, you know,
just
then get back to the blue collar conservative ethic, you know.
Right.
But
okay.
Look, I want to warn people. And this is about a reporter who hears a rumor that ISIS has captured a cache of chemical weapons in northern Syria. He wants
right.
to go investigate it and confirm the story, and his editor says, no, you're crazy. You may not go into Syria to interview this ISIS commander. But he and his colleagues decide to do it anyway. And I take you first person. It's the first novel I've ever written that's in a first-person voice. So you are the reporter, in a sense. You are heading into Syria with
mm-hmm.
him, war-torn, yep. horrific, genocidal Syria. And throughout the book, you know, you go into Turkey, you go into Israel, you're in D.C., you're in the White House, you're in Iraq and Jordan, and as this situation is going from bad to worse, why? Not because I want to predict this is going to happen, this genocidal attack against a target, but because I'm concerned. Look, in real life, ISIS is trying to bring down the government of Syria. It's trying to bring down the government of Iraq. And so the question of the novel is, what is the next target for ISIS? What's the third target? Who are they going to hit next? Here, inside the homeland of the United States? I'm in Texas this week speaking. I'm in Austin right now. I'm not that far from a border that's completely open, or nearly completely open, where ISIS and other radicals could very well be penetrating, where we don't have a federal government that's sealing and locking up that border to protect us. So this is a very real possibility. But maybe they're coming after Israel. Maybe they're coming after Europe or one of our Arab allies in the Middle East. And I try to – this is the beginning of a series, but it's designed to try to provoke people to think, wow, that is horrible. Do our leaders understand it? And are they taking decisive action to protect us and our allies?
Well, I can tell you that having read several of your previous books, you can weave a story and you can, again, you can penetrate the soul. And if there's anything that we need, particularly given the years of this president who has been dismissing this threat, and even the previous president, who I don't think did as good a job as he could have done in explaining the nature of the threat and how serious it is, not just for the short term, but for the long term, unless there's some healing, taking on or reforming of Islam, you do a great job in bringing it home to people. So I thank you for that service. I encourage people to read The Third Target by Joel Rosenberg, but I also encourage you that once you read that, and I'm sure you will be riveted as I am being riveted right now, I encourage you to go back and read his previous series on Iran. And again, he is, I know we can get into that topic very briefly as to the continuing peace, I won't say peace talks, continuing nuclear talks.
Appeasement talks, I think is what it really is.
Appeasement talks, yeah. between the Iranians and this president. I mean, these talks were supposed to be over in July of last year. They were extended till December. Now they're extended even further. And all the while, Iran continues to do what they want to do in moving forward the nuclear weapon. And Joel's books will, well, I think, lay out some of the deeper things that are not talked about, the deeper rationale for why Iran is doing what it's doing, and the horrific consequences that could come about as a result.
Well, Senator, I appreciate that enormously. I really do. And one of the real honors of my life, and certainly in the last year or so, was being with you and your sons and the Christian leaders that you brought to Israel in August, right in the middle of 4,538 rockets and missiles being fired at Israel. You brought a delegation to stand with Israel and to get briefings at the highest level and to stand with the Jewish people and with our key ally in a battle against radical Islam. And I know there's a lot of people, leaders who love Israel, but it was something special to see you come right in the middle of all that. You and I and the others dodging, running for bomb shelters while the rockets and the sirens are going off. That's not normal for people to show that level of standing with an ally in the middle of their war, especially when the president was equivocating. And I appreciate that. As I like to say, may your tribe increase.
Well, thank you. And let me just say that it was important for me to go there because of what the president was doing. I mean, that was really the impetus. I was looking at how the president was not standing by Israel in their time of need, was in fact castigating Israel on a variety of fronts, threatening with the withholding of weapons, closing the U.S. flights to Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. I mean, those are the types of things you do to a certainly not to a friend. And
right.
For the president to have acted that way, I just felt compelled to show solidarity. And it just so happened that a good friend of mine had just recently moved to Israel the week before, and so provided a great welcoming committee. That would be you. And for our listeners, that and Joel, you want to talk about taking on and living out your convictions. Joel's done a lot to build strong relationships between the Christian community and Israel, and has now taken the next step of actually going to Israel. His boys are of age to actually serve in the Israeli Defense Forces, and from everything I hear, I have every intention of doing so. This is really putting your faith right there on the line, and doing it in really heroic ways. So. My compliments to you. Thank you. It was an amazing trip for many reasons, but one of them was because you were there and provided such tremendous insights for all of us into what was going on in the state of Israel. So thank you for that. Thank you for encouraging me to come. And it looks like there's a chance we may be seeing each other again in Israel. I know we're working on I'm working with the Family Research Council and working on trying to get there later this year. To go with them on a trip that I understand that you will be joining them on. So hopefully we'll get a chance to see you again in Israel later this year.
Would love that. Love that. I'm grateful for you standing by Israel. And then, like I said, more broadly, understanding the specifics and guiding legislation through in the Senate on Iran, on Syria, I would say this to you, but I also I'm saying to every potential presidential candidate that I'm meeting with, and I'm trying to meet with all of them over time and build relationships and encourage them. This is not a good time for someone who has no experience on foreign policy and national security. There's a lot of great people considering running, but we do need somebody who has a worldview and experience on these matters because the stakes are so high right now. And I don't know what you're going to do. We had dinner. You're still in the process of thinking about it. Good. We're praying for you. We're praying for everyone else. And I know you're saying the water's warm. Everyone should join. But I'll just say that as people who are not considering running are looking at people and evaluating leaders, one of the things I'm doing, and I know Ralph Reed and Penny Nance, evangelical leaders, we wrote an article, a memo in the fall, late fall after the election, saying, what are we looking for as evangelicals? We don't claim to speak for all evangelicals, but one of the things is experience on foreign policy and national security, because it's challenging enough to take on the leadership of the free world and run it well and wisely, but it's another thing to try to learn the complexities of these issues and these threats from scratch. And so, I just praying for you and for anyone else who's considering this, that they would be building a team of wise counselors around you all. I'd love it if every single potential candidate was reading The Third Target. That's good. I appreciate it very much. And but this is, our country is at great risk, but I agree with you that there's hope. It's not over. It wasn't over in 1979-80 when the Soviets were on the advance and Western Europe didn't seem to have any moral courage or vision of how serious the Soviet threat was. But then there arose Reagan, Thatcher, and Pope John Paul II, and that was a pretty good combination at a very dark moment, and it turned things around by the grace of God and by solid leadership. And I pray for that moment to reemerge. Otherwise, we've got some very, very dark days ahead.
Well, if you recall, Thatcher came in before Reagan, and and here we're seeing some signs that Europe is awakening to the threats that confront it, just like Thatcher was trying to awaken Europe to the threat that the Soviet Union had become again. And this is you'd like to think America leads, but sometimes we have leaders that choose not to lead. And Jimmy Carter was one. Barack Obama is another one. And hopefully we have a country, an America, that will, as we were in 1980, I think we forget that sometime, how Europe and Thatcher, in many respects, inspired us. And
I agree.
That could be the case here again.
Well, I don't see any European leader that gets it the way Churchill did in his day or Thatcher, but I will say Netanyahu is the Churchill of the day, in my view. And I would add, I totally agree with your analysis of President al-Sisi in Egypt. I would add King Abdullah II in Amman. In the region that we're most threatened by, which is now the Middle East and radical Islam, you have three leaders that have emerged that do not have full support of the American government right now, but they see the situation clearly and they are taking action. And I think we need to listen to these men and do all we can to stand with them, because when you have Muslim leaders like al-Sisi and the king in Jordan saying it's Islam's problem, they're saying that as Muslims, and that is tremendously brave, and we got to pray for their safety and their success, and we need leaders who will come in and stand with them.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I know we're almost out of time here, but I couldn't agree more with that, and it's actually a very chilling thing. The one comment you made, I just sort of ran over it, which is the three people who are the ones who are the most honest with the problems that exist within their own religion are the three leaders that this administration has distanced itself from. And those who are like Erdogan in Turkey and what we see with the president in Iran and his negotiations there, is lifting those leaders up, and at the same time, who are Erdogan moving Turkey to a more radical Islamic state, Iran obviously already a very dangerous Islamic state. We lift them up, and those who are trying to bring some reformation or reform of Islam on the ascendancy, and we have distanced ourselves. We as an American government under this president have distanced ourselves. Is really all you need to know about the mess that President Obama is creating for our own security and that of the world. So. Joel, you, as always, point those things out and do a terrific job in doing it. I want to, again, congratulate you for a book that did not keep me up all night. I didn't do a 4 o'clock. It was just 1:30
in
the morning finished reading. So I will.
I'm not offended.
I've got a busy day today, so I haven't had a chance to get back at it. But tonight and then tomorrow I'm flying to Dallas, so rest assured on the plane I'll be reading away and hopefully be able to plow through it here in the next 2-3 days.
Well, and I'm looking forward to Bella's Gift, and Lynn and I are wonderfully excited about that book and the message that has. So bless you as well
thank
and your
you.
Family.
Well, thank you very much.
Joel.
Dan, I'll throw it back to you. I appreciate Joel, you being on with us.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, Joel, we're all looking forward to reading your new book, The Third Target. Can you share with our listeners the best place online and or social media to learn more about you and the book?
Sure. Well, you can certainly come to joelrosenberg.com with my blog and flash traffic emails and Twitter. You can get all the details and the past interviews and so forth, latest poll numbers that we did, an exclusive poll about Americans' attitudes towards ISIS. That's all at the website. But you can find the book at any major or independent bookstore, general market, or Christian, and certainly online in ebook and audio formats.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for sharing with us. Very exciting. We're looking forward to reading it.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you and your Patriot Voices family today.
Thanks, Joel. Special thanks to Joel Rosenberg, the author of The Third Target. It's a new series, and he had the wisdom and the insight to do some great research several years ago and just timed out with the ISIS movement. And it's always great to hear Senator Santorum and Joel talk. And we want to thank Senator Santorum for joining us also today. We have a new interview here that we want to check in with here. And it's a new year, and so we want to hear from the executive director of Patriot Voices and just get perspective from here, Nadine Mayenza. Nadine, welcome to the show today.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be on. What a great show so far. Happy New Year to everyone.
Yes. Very exciting interview there. Tell us a little bit about 2015 and what's ahead for Patriot Voices this year.
Well, we're looking forward to continuing to grow because, you know, as our opening of the show goes, you know, the more of us that unite together, really it's harder to ignore us. And so, you know, we're continuing to add leaders all over the country. And if you're listening to this show and you're interested, you know, there's a place for you. You can go ahead and email us, go to our website, sign up. There's you can find on our website, connect. You can go there and send an email to us. There's all sorts of ways that you can reach out to us, and we'd be glad to let you know more about those opportunities. A lot of fun. The things that we're working on right now, actually, just to be really brief, I know we're kind of running out of time, is Keystone Pipeline. We've been fighting for a very long time. The senator mentioned it. He was running in 2012. And, you know, to this point right now, it just passed the House last week. Last night, the Senate did a hurdle, procedural hurdle, to allow it to be debated. And so that is happening right now. Every Republican voted for the debate. 10 Democrats joined in and 1 independent. But it's still not enough, unfortunately, to override a veto in the president of the Senate is going to veto this. And it's really a shame, too, because you know, the White House had been saying that using an excuse that there was a Supreme Court case in Nebraska that they were waiting on. And that actually was resolved on the same day that it passed the House. And so that is no longer an issue. And so, you know, we're really hoping that the White House, the president, changes his mind. So, but, you know, there still are some senators that could change their mind, too. So we'd ask you to go to our website. There's a banner right on it, patriotvoices.com, that you can send an email to your senators asking them to support the Keystone Pipeline. There's still some that could flip that would be helpful. And, you know, the thing about this is the environmental leaders who are fighting this, their arguments, even the State Department is dismissed. You know, that if, in fact, there is any environmental impact bringing the oil out of the ground, it's coming out of the ground one way or another in Canada, and it's going to be shipped somewhere. It's either going to be by rail or it's going to be by pipeline. So what happens is if we say no to the Keystone Pipeline, what we're saying, it's still going to go on. They're still going to get that gas out of the ground, but we're not going to be able to financially benefit or be a part of it, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Sure.
There are four states in particular that really, really benefit from this, some 42,000 temporary jobs. You know, they're talking about $8 billion. So it's you know, it's so many people, including even labor unions, you know, so many all across the board that support the Keystone Pipeline. So we really do ask that you guys, if you haven't yet, go ahead and jump on and send an email and see if we can't maybe raise the support, and maybe the president will surprise us. So we've got to keep fighting because this is an important issue. And so that's, of course, one that we're going to keep fighting on. Common Core is another one that we're going to be more involved in as the year progresses. You know, the sanctity of life is an issue that, you know, with Bella's gift and with the March for Life coming up, and, you know, so many opportunities for us to remind people of every life matters. And, of course, the president's executive order on immigration. So there's so many things coming up and probably some issues that are going to show up that we're not ready for, but we will quickly be ready for once they do, are I'm sure going to come up. And we're just going to keep an eye on things and let you know the minute we think there are things that we can impact. And so we hope that you guys will all join with us.
Well, thank you for your leadership. And, you know, there's so many action links on the website, patriotvoices.com. It just takes just 1 or 2 minutes to send a letter to Congress about the Keystone Pipeline or a lot of the other issues you mentioned.
Like,
so.
You're right. Just 1 to 2 minutes is all it takes. It's so quick. We have it preloaded. It pulls up your own senators. You don't have to do, I mean, just quick, and you're able to make an impact. And, of course, for Patrick Shiad, as you heard earlier in the show, if you haven't had a chance to jump on and let your voice be heard there, that is so important, too. So it's just an easy way that we can help you to connect with, you know, your congressmen, senators, or the president, depending on what issue it is. And so we hope that you guys will join with us on that.
Well, thank you again, and we look forward to moving forward in 2015.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Thanks, Nadine.
Okay. Thank you.
Nadine Manza, the Executive Director of Patriot Voices. It's going to be an awesome year in 2015. We're just getting started here. We want to thank everyone for entering our drawing today, and you usually can do that by just going to the Facebook page and just joining the radio event. And we've given away Patriot Voices sweatshirts and a copy of One Generation Away. So you can still sign up for one more winner. Our second winner we want to announce is Sonia from Pennsylvania. Sonia, going to be sending you a nice warm Patriot Voices sweatshirt and a copy of One Generation Away. So congratulations. Patriot Voices is all about you. It's about all of us coming together, making our voices combined into one larger voice. And it starts at the local level with points of contact, as we call them. If you're interested in helping out in any way, you can go to our website and connect there and where you live. And then we have chapter leaders, and then we have state chairs and co-chairs. We had an opportunity to interview and talk with John Kyle. He's one of our state co-chairs from Maryland. He was at a grassroots conference this weekend, and we'd like to share that interview with you now. We'd like to welcome John Kyle to Patriot Voices Radio. He is the co-chair in Maryland for Patriot Voices. John, welcome to the show today.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
Well, hey, we appreciate all you do for the conservative cause. John, I want to ask you a little bit about you and your family and how you got involved in Patriot Voices.
Well, I think it was 2013, I went to CPAC and was just looking to check it out, and I heard Senator Santorum speak, and I was hooked. And then, you know, I made some connections there with some people, and started out in Pennsylvania as a chapter leader, and then recently moved to Maryland, and had the opportunity to be state co-chair, and I guess that's the short answer of it.
Oh, that is awesome. I understand that you were at a grassroots conference this weekend in Maryland. It was called Turning the Tides, and you had a booth there for Patriot Voices. Tell us a little bit about how everything went.
It was outstanding. It was a conference basically put together by a couple people who wanted to bring conservatives together and make a difference. This year has been special in Maryland because we have, I think, our second Republican governor since the 60s, and
yes,
you know, a lot of people just doing what they can. Met a person who was in an overwhelmingly Democratic area, but he stepped up and ran, and now he's looking for other opportunities. Met a 15-year-old who was one of the better speakers there. You know, to see a 15-year-old
wow.
kid standing up for conservative principles and stuff, and you know,
fantastic. That's exciting when young people get involved. And literally, conservative cause. I mean, we are turning the tide, aren't we? And I know you did that in Maryland in this last election.
Well, I think it was one of those things where, you know, individual people are stepping up. I think with incoming Governor Hogan and different people just stepping up and saying, hey, you know what, we've got to change things. And I see it in the first time I met one of our chapter leaders, Daryl McIntosh from Baltimore, and just how hard he works at meeting people and talking to people and just making a difference there, you know, a person at a time.
Well, let me ask you, John, from talking with folks there at the conference and other Patriot Voices, you know, members across the state, what's on their hearts and minds these days? What's their greatest concern?
Well, I don't know if it's the greatest concern, but maybe our greatest opportunity is that a lot of people were talking that there are so many people that are conservative, they just don't know it. They've been brought up to think that, you know, we vote Democrat. You know, our whole family has always voted in the Democratic Party. And so a lot of people, when you talk to them about issues, they want to be with us. You know, even Senator Santorum had often said that, you know, we need to talk to those people because they really do want to be with us. When I was growing up, they had the Pepsi and Coke blind taste test. And I think if you put the issues out there in a blind taste test, we'd be surprised how many people would be with us.
I love that. Hey, maybe we can come up with something like that for Patriot Voices booze in the future. I know you're close to D.C., and I think I heard that you may be coming to the March for Life here later in the month, right?
Yep, looking forward to it. You know, obviously hoping no snow and everything, but, you know, as last year the weather was awful, but people were out there because it's such an important cause.
Well, I know Senator Santorum and Karen and many of his family are usually there the last several years, and they walk it, and so I'll be there too, so that's going to be an exciting event. John, let me ask you, what's the best way that people can plug in into Maryland and get involved and get connected?
Well, I think one of the ways is to go to the website and sign up under the Maryland page, or you could also contact me at jkyle@patriotvoices.com, and that's jkyle@patriotvoices.com, and you know, we can interact a little bit and figure out what your interests are and help you get connected and help us build the community here in Maryland.
Well, and of course the website is patriotvoices.com, and there's a get connected button. John, it sounds like you and other people conservative nature are truly turning the tides there in Maryland. Hats off to you. Thank you for all you do for everything.
Well, thank you, and thank you for what you guys do with the radio.
Okay, have a great day, John.
You too, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks to John Kyle, one of our co-chairs in Maryland for Patriot Voices. It's always great to hear from our leaders and the members from all across the country. So we're very excited to check in with those, and we hope things go well in your state. You can always just email yourstate@patriotvoices.com and plug in. Speaking of plugging in the grassroots, we'd like to end our show here today with Shelley Ollersmeyer, our National Grassroots Director. Hi, Shelley. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dan. It's sure been great to listen to everybody. It's always a good snapshot of what's going on with Patriot Voices. So thanks so much for, you know, you being our faithful moderator and host. We really appreciate your efforts.
Well, it's always exciting, and there's been so many important issues that were just brought up on today's show in the last hour. Tell us how people who have heard this and are inspired, how they can get involved with Patriot Voices.
Sure. You know, whether someone's listening live or maybe they're at the gym listening to a podcast while they're trying to work out, you know, the people are thinking, you know, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, I think the most important thing to do is to really get connected with people, at least in your state. So, you know, we can help you connect with, you know, our state chair, our leadership team in your state. Then we have, you know, local chapter leaders and contact persons. So I just think making that connection is a very good thing to do so that folks feel like they're, you know, they're a part of what we're doing. And then, like has been mentioned here many times on the show today, go to our website. There are lots of things that you can take action on. I think that is a great step. becoming a part of our social media presence. You know, we're really trying to build a social media powerhouse so we can push out that conservative message and advocate for those things. So, you know, getting a Twitter account and, you know, making sure on Facebook that you're in some groups so that you're getting, you know, well informed. We do have the FRC One Generation Away simulcast that Senator Santorum mentioned. That's coming up on February 4th. You can help promote that event by finding a church in your community who would be willing to be a host church for the simulcast. Someone wanting information about that can email me, Shelley@patriotvoices.com. Again, that's a way for you to raise awareness about religious liberty, the erosion of it, you know, in America. So that's a really, really good thing for you to do if possible. And then if you're close enough to get to the March for Life, I know that's been mentioned a couple times here, we are Patriot Voices will have a presence. We will march. Senator Santorum and Karen will march. And, you know, a lot of us do come in for that. We do host a breakfast before the march. It's free. Tickets are complimentary, but they are required. So if you want to join us, again, email me. I'll get you the link. You can get some tickets to that. And that, again, is a great way to connect with Patriot Voices folks from all over the country who are there, you know, ready to go out and march and for the sanctity of life. So just a snapshot there of what ways people can get involved. You know, again, my email is Shelley@patriotvoices.com, or you folks can sign up to connect in their state on the Get Connected tab on our website.
Great rundown, Shelley. And just to make sure people know the spelling, your name, Shelley, they can email you directly. Let me ask you, there are tens of thousands of Patriot Voices members and what we call points of contact, or POC. Can you explain that? It's the simplest way to just step forward and say, hey, I want to be ready for some action here in 2015.
Well, we don't have tens of thousands of POCs. We have tens of thousands of members who are active.
Okay.
But our local POCs, our contact persons, it's just, you know, you would be saying, if there's something going on in my community, an opportunity to volunteer, some sort of event, I would like to be contacted directly so that I can step up and help. And those are called our contact persons or our points of contact. And then we also have people who are actually organizing people in their community into a chapter. So that's a little bit more of a commitment. Those people are called chapter leaders. And, you know, we need lots of people doing that as well. And then we do also have some, you know, limited opportunities. We do have a few places where we still need state chairs. And those people, their main role is to build this network of contact persons and chapter leaders in their state. So we've got something for everyone. We have people who can't do a leadership role, but maybe they can help us out on social media. So no excuse. We have a place for everybody. So I hope folks will reach out and get involved. And then once you're involved, go out and find more people who can join you. That's an important next step to do.
Amen. Patriot Voices is continuing to grow. We need your voice so we can all be together. Shelley, I want to announce our DVD winner, another DVD winner from the movie One Generation Away, and it is Christina from Meese, Illinois. So thanks for joining our Facebook radio event page, and that's how we usually do the promotions. And we've got some people who are going to get some nice warm sweatshirts today, too, which is awesome.
Yeah, they're great. They're great to wear.
Well, thank you, Shelley, for giving us that overview, and we're looking forward to an exciting 2015.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Thank you, Shelley Ollersmeyer, the National Grassroots Director for Patriot Voices. It's been an awesome show. Thank you for joining us. We just want to remind you to always check out our website at patriotvoices.com. We're also on Facebook, Patriot Voices, Twitter, Patriot_Voices, which is also the same handle for Instagram. So check us out there. Also, Shelley mentioned the March for Life. Patriot Voices will be there, and you can walk with Senator Santorum. That's coming up next Thursday, January 22nd. And we want to encourage everyone to go to CPAC. The dates on that is February 25th to the 28th. Senator Santorum will be a speaker there, and there'll be many Patriot Voices members there as well. So just put that on your calendar. Thank you so much. Make sure to share the word about Patriot Voices Radio and Patriot Voices. We're now available on iTunes in any podcast directory. Take care. God bless. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.